والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. Monday the 29th of November 1999. Last week we were looking at one of a very fundamental aspect of our belief as far as prophets and imam go, and that is that they are all ma'asum. Ma'asum bala ma'asum ayat, mashallah. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. That all the prophets, as it is the unanimous belief of Shias, contemporary Shia scholars, that all prophets are ma'asum. And to explain the sin of Prophet Adam alayhi salam, particularly in light of the verses that Allah says, وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى, which specifically says that Adam disobeyed his Lord and therefore he was lost. To explain that, we tried, and that was towards the end last time, we tried and understood that every prophet was a ma'asum. But within prophethood, between all the prophets, there are differences in their status. And it is there that to them, something that to us as ordinary human beings is very normal, is highly recommended, to them it is something that is so little that they feel it is tantamount to sinning. Now then, in light of that, we can understand that the dua is Sahifa Sajadiyya, or the duas in Sahifa Alawiyya, or duas taught by any other imam for that matter, or even the verse that is in Surah Fath, إنا فتحنا لك فتحا مبينا ليغفر الله لك ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر, where Allah tells the Holy Prophet that we are going to forgive your sins, what you did before and what you're going to do, the past and the future. Now, to forgive the Prophet's sin when the Prophet is sinless, these terminologies, sin, disobedience, pardon, tawbah, right? As far as the prophets go, it is a different world altogether. They are on a different plane. Different. And therefore, what they consider a sin, what is reported as a sin for them, is not a sin for us. It may be something purely mubah for us. Now, the Quran is full of examples of extra responsibilities given to Prophet, our Holy Prophet. The Quran says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, Qum al-layla illa qalila. In Surah Isra', the Quran says, Fatahajjad al-layla nafilatan lak. Nafilatan lak. This is specific to the Holy Prophet, where namaz al-shab for the Prophet was wajib. Ghusl al-jum'ah for the Prophet was wajib. Now that to us is mustahab. But when we come, there is one very interesting hadith that says, I mentioned this last time, I think, Hasanatul Akhyar Sayyatul, Hasanatul Akhyar Sayyatul Abrar. Because Akhyar is a stage higher than Abrar. Akhyar means good people, Abrar means good people. Akhyar is from the word Khair, and Abrar is from the word Bir. Bir is also good, Khair is also good. Akhyar is a higher stage than Abrar. In Akhyar, Hasanat, that means the good deeds of Akhyar, are the bad deeds. Hasanatul Abrar, Sayyatul Akhyar. So Hasanatul Abrar, the good deeds of the good ones, are the bad deeds of the good ones. Not literally meaning that it is haram or makruh. Just that they consider it so low. This is wajib for us. This is like, you know, take it for granted. We must have done this. The imams have a status that is very high, higher than prophets, except our prophet, our holy prophet. But apart from all prophets, the imam have statuses that are higher than all prophets. And the imams got to that status. The hadith of the sixth imam says that if you look at Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim كان نبيا قبل أن يكون رسولا. he was a prophet before he was appointed a messenger. وَكَانَ رَسُولًا قَبْلَ أَن يَتَّخِذَهُ اللَّهُ خَلِيلًا. And he was a messenger before Allah chose him or bestowed on him the title of a friend. وَكَانَ خَلِيلًا قَبْلَ أَن يَقُولَهُ اللَّهُ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Right? That he was a friend of Allah before Allah told him, I am going to make you an imam for the people. So that imam status that Prophet Ibrahim specifically asked for in his prayers, the Quran is a witness to that. Which he asked for his prayers, he was asking when he had already been given the title of a friend of Allah, a title nobody else has been given. Despite that, he is asking for that one title, imam. And Allah says, I will give you, نِجَعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ imama, I am making you a leader. You can imagine the status of an imam. Right? So, there now, when somebody says, I have sinned, or I have done an injustice to myself, they are comparing it to their standards, not ours. And we, when we look at ismat, we are looking, ma'asum is compared to our standards, that infallibility compared to our standards. Beyond that, there are different standards.
But it's still a sin in their standards.
Sin is not in punishable, not in our standards.
But in their standards, they're still committing a sin.
Not sin as punishable, right? Sin as in something that is taking them a bit away from Allah. What is sin, technically? A sin is something, dhanb, is something, ma'asiyah, is something that takes you further away from Allah. Right? And hasanatun is something that takes you closer to Allah. Now, they are already close to Allah, but in their proximity to Allah, there is a difference. Now, what they consider a sin is something that takes them a bit further away from Allah, that could have taken them closer to Allah had they done that. But it does not in any way tantamount to a sin which is punishable by punishment like that for us. That is the difference. Sorry, you had a question here.
Yes. If the imams are sinless, as in the imams are masoons, then why did they need to repent?
This is the whole thing I'm saying.
No, that the prophets, but the imams, they were perfect.
The imams also were perfect. But the imams had a status lower than the Prophet, right? Our Holy Prophet, right? To them, say for example, and this lecturer gives a very good example. He says, say for example, the imams, and to get proximity to Allah is to remember, to be able to remember Allah at all times. At every moment of our lives, we think of nothing but Allah. Even carrying out our day-to-day duties, we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the height of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, imams, in discharging their day-to-day duties, as leaders, as parents, as whatever it is, yeah? In discharging their day-to-day duties, they might have, for example, he says, 5 seconds they could have, they can count. Okay, for 5 fleeting moments, I was obsessed or occupied with something other than Allah. And to that, to them, that is a sin. For that, they seek repentance.
So what about the Prophet? Did he have to seek repentance?
Did the Prophet have to seek repentance?
He made dua for repentance. So why did he?
There is a hadith of 49 when that's what Umayyad was the son of the king of Arush. He said that according to the ma'rifah that we have of Allah, we fear that we do not do justice
to him
in glorifying him the way he truly deserves. That even no matter how much we do, we cannot quite do justice to that, and that is our fear.
Because it is actually impossible. No creature can actually
glorify him the way he deserves.
Truly, because the fact you're thanking him needs thanking itself. So they understood in the true sense that they were so inferior to him. And, you know, and that
it's like the closer they get to Allah, more they feel that they are further away. Yeah?
Yeah, it's a different understanding of it altogether. Because it's physically impossible, I think, for any creature to praise him the way he deserves. You know, it can't be done. So for that, maybe for that reason.
It's like the closer you get to a mountain, the more you're aware of his magnificence. here you show yourself mindful.
Right. So,
can I ask one question? The, what was wajib for them? Is it because it was made wajib for them, or they made
it wajib on themselves?
Right.
There is the
Well, it does. لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون. ولا يحسن نعماه العادون. There is his praise cannot be reached by anyone, right? Count his blessings and bounties. ثناء is praise as well. يحسن نعماه. نعماء is from نعمت.
There's no
verse there that says that those who strive to him cannot reach him.
What about the
mujtahidun? يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. مجتهدون are those who are trying.
Hmm.
Right? And يؤدي حقه is to how would you translate?
حقدقر.
To fulfill their rights. Nobody can do that. Now, so this is one and very plausible, very widely accepted explanation as to how we can explain Prophet Adam's mistake, as they call it. The enemies, or rather not the enemies, but the other non-believers in this infallibility of Prophet, take this verse and say, this proves that all Prophets are fallible. Whereas we say, don't look at the external of the verse, look at the internal meaning of the verse, look at where the word can be applicable. Let us understand how Allah is referring to what the Prophet is referring to, and so on. Now, to go on to other explanations, mind you, this explanation has evolved after a long number of years. Huh? This kind of explanation and understanding the ismat of Prophets, especially in explaining this verse, did not start immediately, because Mufassirin had different inputs, and different tafasir have different ideas, different perspectives of this whole verse, right? One of the most common arguments, or rather explanations, that Mufassirin used to give was that the law of sinning and disobedience was only there when there were commands. If there were no directives from Allah, what to do and what not to do, right? If there was no sinning, there is no sin and there is no reward, there is no punishment, right? Then there is no question of masih. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, in two places, both in Surah Taha and Surah Al-Baqarah, I think, or A'raf, one of the two, Allah does say, that اهبطوا منهم جميعا فإما يأتينكم مني هداي فمن تبع هداي فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Surah Taha. Right? Where Allah tells Iblis and Adam and Hawa that get out from here, all of you. اهبطوا as in go down. Right? Now a guidance shall come from me to you. Whoever follows my guidance shall have nothing to fear, nor shall he regret anything. And whoever does not shall be punished. So the idea of disobedience, of punishment for sinning, started at a time after Adam came down to earth, not before. So anything before then does not fall within the concept of our Sharia that we talk about. Our life, our system, the system that we are in was brought about after Adam was brought down. Right? Not before. That was the most plausible explanation up to quite recently, when Ayatollah Tabatabai and other Mufassirin came up with this discussion that it does not mean that. It simply means that Ma'asiyah is at a different level and not at our level. Yeah?
Surely, if that was the case, Allah would have used the word sinning so explicitly.
But it had a different connotation at that time. Sinning now, technically, is a term used for disobeying one of the rules of the guidance that Allah sent. At that time, it could mean something different. And we'll also look at that directive that Allah gave, do not approach this tree, is that amr fi'lul amr, is that amr mawlawi or amr irshadi, yeah? We'll look at that. But let us look at Surah Taha. Surah Taha, verse number 115. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We're looking at verse 115 of Surah Taha, which is Surah number 20. وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِيَا وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى فَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌّ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى إِنَّ لَكَ لَا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى. Please, as we recite the verses, try and relate to what we have discussed regarding these verses. We have already discussed that this describes the Jannah that Adam was promised, or Adam was put into. The Jannah is إِنَّ لَكَ لَا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَضْمَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَضْحَى فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ قَالَ يَا آدَمُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى فَأَكَلَا مِنْهَا فَبَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا وَطَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ وَعَسَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى. Then Allah says, ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ. So prophethood came later. ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَى. Even that selection came before Tawbah. ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ for what? Prophethood? Again, there is a difference here. Mufassirin say, is this for prophethood? If it was for prophethood, then Tawbah should have been before and اجْتَبَاهُ should have been. Mufassirin say, ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ is to grant him that ability. Allah granted Adam that ability to regret and repent from his misdeed. To be able to come back to the folds of Allah, to gain proximity again, right? He had to be given the tawfiq. And that tawfiq is given to chosen ones. That is ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ. وَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَى and guided him. Now, you're supposed to do this. This is your path. Tawfiq means? How would you translate Tawfiq? Tawfiq means is some kind of assistance. It's not assistance, it's...
Realization that comes to
you. Khuda, you've never heard this word, have you?
I've heard, but would you say loosely?
Yeah, I know. Khuda ne tawfiq aap. Khuda ne tawfiq aap, that means... it can mean, to translate it into English or even Gujarati, is not easy because tawfiq is something unique. It's like an opportunity from Allah, right? The ability. Although you do it yourself, but without Him granting you that ability, you will not be able to do it. Right? So it's some kind of assistance, ability, or if I can say just that push that is required, right? That comes from Allah, pushing you in the right direction. That is called tawfiq. Now if you look at the verse that comes afterwards, 123, قَالَ اهْبِطَا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Did you get to Surah Al-A'raf, Martin? Let's look at Surah Al-Baqarah. Original place where we are. I'm looking for لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Yes, 38. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 38. قُلْ لَهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Right? Now, these words, they come quite often, but they come also in du'as. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون اللهم اجعلني من حزب الله فإن حزب الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Tuesday's du'a that Ayatollah Khomeini sort of specially said that if you want to recite, recite Tuesday's du'a. اللهم اجعلني من حزبك فإن حزبك لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Now, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Read the translation. What does it say?
No fear shall come on them, nor shall they grieve.
No fear shall come on them, nor shall they grieve. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. You are fearful only of that which is going to come that you know not. And you grieve or repent only about that which is past. Those who follow the path of Allah, those who decide to stay firm on the path that is designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is the right path to me, those who decide to stay firm on that path, neither are they worried of what is going to befall them, nor regrets about what has already happened. This, in short, is what we all aspire to do in this world.
Grief
means regret. Grief means regret. Yahzanun is not huzan as in cry. Yahzanun is yandamun. Regret. Why did this happen? Right? I could have done this. Khawf is not fear as in basically kya hame weak lage. Khawf is in
apprehension.
Apprehension. Thank you. Right? Kibana sut hasin. What will happen? If I do this, this will happen. If I do this, this will happen. Now, Allah says clearly in this particular verse, whoever follows that path that He has revealed, that guidance that He has sent, these are the people who have no fear of what is to come, nor do they regret what has passed. And you look at your own life, look at our own lives. Somebody is in the room privately, right? What is happening day in, day out. If we could come to that level where nothing bothers us, nothing future, nothing past, right? We live for what we are in right now. Now. Okay, future, I'm not talking of 1 hour later. Right now, what we are in, we live to that, right? We neither fear the future. Okay, what is going to take place, nor the past, what has already happened. See how content we can become, see how happy. This is لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Allah says that these are the people who follow my path shall have nothing to worry about. Right? And in Surah Taha, He says وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ. Surah Taha verse 124, and he who rejects woman a'rada an dhikri, does not want to remember us. فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Ma'isha is the survival in this world. Livelihood. How has it been translated? Ma'isha. Livelihood. Right?
So here it says a life straightened.
Straightened as in S-T-R-A-I-T, yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Tight. Dhanka is very tight, yeah.
Now, it's sort of interesting. You know, I was saying this, if you look at Surah Al-Baqarah 38, it says, قُلْ نَهْبِتُ.
قَالَ أَهْبِطَ.
قُلْ نَهْبِتُ. But here in this way, it's only talking about woman. قَالَ أَهْبِطَ.
Yeah.
Go down from the both of you, Khalid. This one is being addressed to Adam and Hawa?
This one is just to
Olu
Shepanthar.
Ama
at that particular time.
When Allah was choosing and guiding.
There, Iblis was not around. Eh? Tawbah kaira there, Iblis ka. Yeah?
Yeah,
it's interesting, isn't it?
Subtle change, eh? Because when His Lord chose Him and then sort of guided Him, Iblis was absent.
Hmm.
If you go back to Taha 124, it's different. Why will they be raised on the day of judgment blind? What is blind then? I mean, surely that day will be open.
Read the verse that is followed it.
But also, Mustafa, maybe it refers to Adam and Shaitan, because it says one of you will be the enemy of the other.
Some of you.
One.
And this one, قَالَ هَبِطَ مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. This is not that Shaitan is going to be enemy of mankind. Mankind, some of mankind is going to be enemy to other mankind.
How can there be plural and dual in the end? قَالَ هَبِطَ جَمِيعًا. Get down the two of you, all of you together.
Together now, jami'an can be used for two people. Together at the same time. Ma'an.
With each other.
With each other. Both of you. Both of you together go down. Some of you are going to be enemies to others. Mankind.
Here there's dual and then God is talking plural.
فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ. Again, it is plural. Guidance will come to you. As a plural, right? So, he whoever rejects that guidance is going to have a difficult time in his own earning his own livelihood. So, isn't it? Je khudane tujhkane. Whoever rejects Allah's guidance is neither going to be of this world nor the hereafter.
Can you expand on that? I'm not sure I understand properly.
I mean, it can't be truly livelihood. I mean, some of the most vicious people are very rich.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, livelihood, ma'isha is not only just money. Please, ma'isha is life.
Status in life. Happiness.
Not status, not status. Happiness, more like happiness. Status as in position in society, wealth, family, health.
The word livelihood indicates more status and financial position. Is that the right translation then?
Well, that is the nearest translation, I would say. Ma'isha is to do with aish. I don't know Swahili, or anaish, if you remember Swahili, right? To live. Now, ma'isha tandanka is, it literally means what Allah has used in other verses. Let's go to other verses. What has He used, yeah? When it comes to dunya,
can it possibly mean? A straightened life, can it possibly mean that regardless of how much you have, you won't have the contentment, you'll be grieving in the past?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Even if you have a lot, but you're not... Is that
you're not perfect. Because I mean, you're not satisfied with yourself, you're not...
I came across a saying and somebody said, the measure of wealth is not how much you have, but how little you want.
Something like that.
And would that be it?
That is the kind of feeling you would have, despite whatever abundance you may have in your wealth or health or family members or whatever it is. Yet that feeling deep within is not there. You see, in Surah Al-A'raf and Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah uses the word, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. It's your abode. Right? وَمَتَاعٌ. مَتَاعٌ is that you will enjoy. You want luxury, you want comfort, but it's temporary. So, all this, even despite being temporary, even then it has difficulties. Huh? It's not something that is easily available. So, مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. And on the day of judgment, this person will be resurrected blind. Who forgets or rejects the call of Allah. This person will be resurrected blind. قَالَ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. And this person will say on the day of judgment, why have you resurrected me blind when I could see? Right? And Allah explains, قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Right? My signs came to you, and you turned your eyes away from it. You turned a blind eye to it. Our English spoken, you turned a blind eye to it, yeah? That means these signs came. You decided to be blind to it, so today we resurrect you as what you are. What you literally were. Blind. That is how we resurrect you today. Right? Now you know the question, now you know the answer. Is there in the following verses. Right. Am I ekchich baki sheh? There's one more thing that I need to discuss. And that is la taqraba hadhi shajara. Amrun mawlawiyun an amrun irshadin that la taqraba hadhi shajara. Again, this may not be linked with what we already believe. This is just in order to understand that what kind of commands are there in understanding when Allah says la. What does he mean? Does he mean no, no? No prohibitive, no as in haram. No makruh, no as in makruh. Or no, just not good for you. How do we determine that? There are two kinds. Amrun Mawlawi and Amrun Irshad. Amrun Mawlawi would mean it is a legal command. Right? Mawlawi is from Mawla. Amr is a command, yeah? So Amrun Mawlawi is a legal command. Amrun Mawlawi is divided into two, whether it is haram or makruh. And you have the other kind, which is Amrun Irshadi, which is just good for you, keep away. Which may be from Allah, it may be from human beings, it may be from any direction, from anybody. But that law is not, that command is not a legal binding command. It is just an advisory command. Look, don't do this. If it is an advisory command, what happens is that somebody who does it, especially coming from Allah, somebody who does it will not be breaking any law, will not be performing a sin as in getting away or getting away further from Allah. No. What he will be doing is that a physical consequence will develop. Something wrong will happen. Something will go wrong. Right? But it is not to do with going away from Allah. It is to do with something physical, tangible, that will happen to him in Irshad. Especially coming from Allah. Ajay, for example, when a doctor tells you, okay, eat this medicine. If you don't eat, you will not heal or you will not recover. Right? And you don't eat the medicine. The doctor is an expert. The doctor knows what he's telling you. Right? Have you broken any laws? There are no laws to be broken. When you don't take that medicine, you don't recover. Your illness, continuous illness, is that physical consequence of you rejecting that Amrun Irshadi. With Amrun Mawlawi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it is a legal law, right? When you do what he tells you not to do, then you are actually getting away further from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the consequence of your action. Whereas in Amrun Irshadi, there is no such consequence.
Any action that is harm. Normally we can place with it a tangible harm. We can see Ramesh chair occurs like harm. But not we talk about approaching a tree.
That must seem as serious as being something from haram. It would come under the advisory. And more probably it was to do with
metaphorical thought of choice, right? We looked at the tree being earth and all that, yeah? So there is only one question. If you are saying okay, a command like that does not have anything harmful, as you say, haram makai to harmful hoy. But any other, if, does that mean okay, everything haram has to have a reasonable sort of explanation, okay, why is it harmful?
We can come up with an explanation or something.
What
I guess, my question, what I have just said, no, you've understood.
Things are very serious.
Okay. A command like don't go near the tree is more equivalent to makruh things, like for example, not
wear a certain color or something like that.
Especially when he was supposed to do that. That was the reason why I restrained you. That was the reason why. That was all part of the plan.
But we said he was an authority.
He was created for this whole purpose, and Shaitan and the rest of it. And the day of Qiyamah was created for this reason.
My question. My
will be created.
Let's. My question at this stage.
Is it any based on Quran? Okay. Are there examples of these three kinds of commands in the Quran?
Not that I have heard, huh?
What do Aimma say about this? I mean, you said that the translations we're having are very recent. What did they say in those days? Surely somebody must have asked them.
You have so many different hadiths. I tell you, the process of hadith, understanding hadith is as deep as understanding Quran. You must understand that. And that is after verifying the authenticity of a hadith. Right? After we verify the authenticity of a hadith, Rabbi Kabul Karekene, this hadith did come from this imam, right? Then the process of interpretation, you know, from that hadith is as long a process as tafsir of Quran, right? One hadith comes to mind. Inna amrana sa'bun mustasab. لا يفهمه إلا ملك مقرب أو نبي مرسل أو مؤمن امتحن الله قلبه لله. Right? That our affairs, our matter is difficult, is indeed extremely difficult. Right? لا يفهمه it cannot be understood except by نبي مرسل ملك مقرب. That means an angel who is close to Allah, or a Nabiyun Mursal, or a messenger of Allah, or a mu'min intahan Allah qalbahu lil iman, or a mu'min whose heart has been examined by Allah for iman. This is the level or degree of seriousness in every hadith that comes, right? Now, when we talk of hadith regarding this particular verse, you find many hadiths that say that Adam did not sin, right? One particular hadith is in Al-Kafi, I think, which says that in the court of Harun al-Rashid, right? One of the people called Imam Rida al-Islam. And he said these things. And the Imam said, "Why, Haq?" He said, "You do not understand the Quran at all." Right? He can claim that Prophet Adam did sin. So everybody, the Imams were constantly pointing to this direction that they did not sin. They did not sin. They did not sin. That is why our belief is they did not sin. Now, how to explain this is a different, right? You must remember that all answers are not concretely clear in the Quran. As far as Quran is there, to understand the Quran, the questions that arise, all answers are not found in tafsir. This is what I mean. Okay. We cannot come here expecting to find clear-cut answers to these questions that have lingered in the back of our minds for ages now. Right? We cannot do that. All we can do is that we can try and understand. I am sure we will say, okay, we will understand, we do understand better than what we were in, right? Whether it makes perfect sense or not is another thing. But the sixth Imam has said that if you at any time come to a confusion that you cannot explain what you know you believe, right? Yet the Quran or Hadith is telling you something else. Understand these words. That is why Sheikh Rida al-Mudaffar, he wrote a book, Aqaid al-Imamiyya, the Shiite Creed, which is there in English as well, right? What has he done? He has just listed out exactly what the beliefs of the Shias are, right? Starting from Allah, His justice, and the Prophet, and infallibility, and the Imams, and successorship, and everything, up to the Day of Judgment, right? That is our belief. Now the Imam says, if you cannot understand the verses that say what we believe, yet you know this is what we believe, then pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ahyini mahya Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, wa amitni mamata Muhammad wa ali. Then let me live the life that was led by Prophet Muhammad and his family, and let me die the way that I. Is that not what we want? We know enough of them, we know enough about them to say that I want to live the life that they were living. So I want to believe in what they were believing, for I know they are on the true path. whether it comes to my understanding, I will try and understand. If I can't understand, my prayers are that I live the life they left, they lived, and I die the death they died. This has to be at the back of all our minds. We will try and understand the Quran, we might understand, we might not understand. At the end of the day, there is no meaning, so there is no answer, or the belief is something else.
This is one of those things where Allah has, for His own reasons, chosen to make implicit rather than explicit. Like Imamah, for example, when He could very well have said, look, this is Rasulullah, this is Ali, and forget about it. But He's chosen, do we have a reason why He's chosen some things like that? Is it so that we have to struggle to find it?
لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ Quran Yadir. With that, He will filter the bad from the good. There is enough evidence. You call any Sunnis who try and say, okay, this is Arabic, it is our language, you think there is not enough evidence? There is enough evidence, overwhelming evidence. And if I give you examples of Mubasa, I'm telling you of Mubasa. Allah, Sunni, you remember the names, Allah, Sharif Shastri and Sharif Khitami and Sharif Badawi and all these names. These are Sunni scholars, right? Whose parents had become Shias. And they were refusing to become Shias. You ask anybody of those elders who were working in the Bilal Muslim Mission, they will tell you, why didn't they become Shias? And they said, look, we know Shiaism is the true religion, but if we become Shias, will you Khojas kiss our hands? That was their attitude. They had so much to lose by becoming Shias. They had to lose their position, their status in society, their following. They could not keep that up. So something is blocking them.
My choke and a
colleague like this. No, I don't know that. They were very big in the community.
Salih Abdullah Farsi Nam yet?
Yeah.
Who was that?
It's from Kenya or what?
The Chief Kadi.
Marhum Agha Mehdi, Tehran. Agha Mehdi, who died in Dubai. Marhum Agha Mehdi was in Mombasa, Said Mehdi Shushtari, right? What am I not there, Agha Mehdi? Like 1950s, early 60s, when Sheikh Saleh Abdullah Al-Farsi was still in Zanzibar. Because he was a Maskati, if you remember. He was the chief Qadi of Kenya. He was originally a Maskati, born in Zanzibar, then came to Mombasa. He is Sheikh Saleh Abdullah Farsi in the mosque, Shia mosque, with Agha Mehdi and somebody else. Said, I testify and I make these walls my witness, walls of the mosque. Ashhad anna aliyan amir al-mu'mineen. So who Agha Mehdi, I asked him, so what happened then? He said, then he was elevated to that position. These people who do not accept truth are being blocked by certain things.
Something in the crypt, there was some truth.
And he's the lock of somebody hidden away the name, according to the list, according to the research. And they took his student down there and showed him, I believe, the third Imam. He said, why don't you come out in public? Because you have a position at home. I can't accept, I can't make it public.
There was a Christian Badri in the copy of the book. And I think it wasn't.
I've heard the story. He had a PhD in Texas University or something.
Papa, I don't think it's 12th Imam, I think it was the Prophet. This man was a Muslim scientist. He was a Christian, then became a Muslim.
Yeah, he became a Muslim afterwards.
Like,
something
in the Bible, this word, partakers or something like that.
That's the one.
Yeah.
He didn't have a PhD.
Paraclete.
That's the one.
My question to the question of Amr Maulavi and Amr Irshadi. Let's come back to that. Amr Maulavi is a legal command from divinity, from Allah. And Amr Irshadi is an advisory command. My question is to look at examples of Amrun Irshadi from Allah. It's easy to say, Kathani doctor, I make any anatomy, that is advisory, this is a doctor, it's a human being. When Allah says, I mean, it is not in the Quran, but there are commands that are not in the Quran, to slaughter an animal before you eat. Well, you slaughter a goat before you eat it. So if you want to eat a goat, you'll have to slaughter it. But if you don't slaughter it, the command is slaughter it. Allah. The command is to slaughter it. Right? If you don't slaughter it, what happens? Have you committed a sin? You haven't committed a sin. All that will happen is that you can't eat the meat. So, the advice is that you slaughter a goat so that you can eat. But if you don't slaughter it, you have not committed a sin. Right? The only physical consequence of that act of not slaughtering an animal is that you will not be able to eat.
That means if you let the goat alone,
sorry?
By not slaughtering it, you kill it without slaughtering. Kill it manually. For what purpose?
You see, if animals know, the advice is slaughter animals.
The advice is to recite the name.
Okay, so you recite name before you.
On the basis of this, our Sunni brothers, see, they go into any restaurant and say, this is the last man and they eat the meat. They come to them, they any meat in front of them, they recite God's name.
So, however, that advice is, can recite the name of Allah. So if you don't recite the name of Allah, is that a sin?
Is it only meat?
Or other food?
لا تقل إني فاعل شيء غدا إلا أن يشاء الله. Right? Do not say I am going to do this tomorrow except that Allah so wishes. Quran Majid. I'm sure if we sit down we'll find a lot of these advisory commands that says do not do this, yeah? Now if I say I'm going to do this tomorrow without saying inshallah, have I sinned? So this is an advice of Allah. When you're thinking of tomorrow, think of Allah first. When you're saying you want to do something tomorrow, say Allah, inshallah. But if I don't do that, I have not sinned. And that is typical Amrun Irshadi. And فإذا قرأت القرآن فاستعد.
So is there any way to know which is which?
Nay, not directly from the Quran. You see, you have to understand the Quran in there. To understand the Quran and the meaning is something that has, it is not as obvious, right? So we go to Hadith, and in Hadith there are more than 150 different rules to be applied in understanding hadith. I'm not talking of verifying the authenticity. Abrakala, sanadhu, chain of narrators, ate, we have confirmed, we have agreed. This is the hadith. Now in the hadith, there are 150 different principles in understanding the hadith. Ilm-e-usool is not only fiqh. Ilm-e-usool is understanding the hadith. Right? Was this hadith said at what time, in what part of the country, right? Was it done at time when there was war or not, and so on. Because then the words, the terminologies used will have different connotations. So, this particular science of understanding ki Allah, is that La Amrun Maulawi or Amrun Irshadi, is left to the experts who have spent years in understanding the Quran and Hadith. This brings us to the end of the story of Hazrat Adam. Any question?
Sorry, sir. Do you find that in some discussion I had with somebody on the internet that you were accusing the Shias of this, using me? Is okay that you have these truths which you believe in, then you try to force the meaning out of the verse, but you ignore the apparent meaning.
why don't you read it like you would read it? Read it. What does it say to you without any preconception? Why do you reject that reading? Why do you say, okay, no, in this particular instance, this is what it is? Because if that was, if it was that complicated, you know, it wouldn't be for the layman. I gave him that verse. I said to him, there are certain verses that definitely cannot be read as they are. Like, for example, the one who is blind in this world, I told him that example. Whoever is blind in this world is going to be blind in the next world. Right? And his end is very bad. Yes, but also, why don't you read them in the plain Arabic as they are, appealing to the lay person without any background knowledge, because surely that is how Quran is being addressed. Quran is not a book addressed to the expert. Even in a sense,
yeah, Quran is a book for all.
Accessible to everyone. Apre actually vaat karta tha nabi Nuh, nabi Yunus na para. Ane luckily we haven't got to nabi Adam. But you see, he in the nabi Yunus thing, he said, why don't you read these verses the way they are? Why do you want to look for deeper meaning? And
Let me try and explain this. I think last time we did touch about this little bit. The Quran is a book for all, right? It's a book for all mankind. Now, for ordinary laymen like me and you, to us it has by reciting the verses of the Holy Quran, we get sawab out of it. We get the spiritual benefit out of it. When it comes to, say, Ayatollah Sistani, for example, would he recite the verses and understand it the same way I do? Would not. He would look at it from a different way. Why? Based on the background information that he has of everything, of how things took place. But this is just one. By the way, the last time what we discussed was Muhkamat al Mutashabaha. If you remember that. Muhkamat al Mutashabaha. You remember that? Those are decisive and the ambiguous ones. I mean, not ambiguous, but
those. Ali Imran 6.
Huh?
Ali Imran 6.
Right? Muhkamat and Mutashabihat. What happens is these Sunnis take verses isolated out of context, pick up one verse from the Holy Quran and say, Yadullahi Mabsutatan. Allah's hands are extended. But the Quran is not Quran. Yadullah fawqa adeem, vijaya ayat apsitam. Second
ayat. Yeah, we talked about these verses, I mentioned that today. It's okay, JK. He agrees that. Because I gave him an example of six verses like that, like this. And the other verses also of the Quran. It's okay, JK, then when the narrative is there, surely the narrative should be read as is.
Narrative
number? When you are looking at an obvious ayat that is not ambiguous.
Who decides?
Parts of it cannot be ambiguous.
Either it is all ambiguous. No, ambiguous is not as in it conforms, you don't understand. Ambiguous is the name.
It has a different meaning.
It has a different meaning. Like, Khuda the concept of embodiment of Allah, kya jism shek nahi, right? That is a direct contradiction, if I may say. In the verses that say, laysa kamithlihi shay, and the verse that says, yadullah fawqa aydihim. His hand is over their hands. And says, Laysa kamithli shay, there is nothing like him. Is there not a contradiction in the meaning? There is. So how do you explain that? So what happens, what the scholars do is that they take out all the verses that are there. Regarding the body of Allah. Is he in the shape? Is he in a form? Right? And then they look at the understanding of a body. What do you understand by body? Or a form? Or a shape? You understand space, you understand the weight, you understand area, you understand composition, material. Right? And say, does Allah, if you are composed of material, elements, compounds, then one is in need of another. And so on. That has to be done by nothing but Aql.
What did your friend reply to this ayah? Al-Imran 6.
No, he says, what he said was that when I actually gave him six verses, right? But he said to me, I accept that there are some verses that are in parable form or in metaphor form. But those verses that are clear in the narration, why do you
dig out new meanings for them than the apparent one, or at least why do you ignore the apparent ones? Why don't you take those as well? If it says that this person erred, like he was using Surah Patanjali, you know, I'm going to forgive you for your past sins, fine. Or he used the one, his argument was on Prophet, our Prophet and Prophet Yunus. So there is another ayat of the Prophet that says that we found you astray, we guided you. He said, look, the Prophet was not guided before, and then after God chose him, and he came out, God guided him. So what's the problem with that? Why do you have to explain this way and that way? Those are open verses, that are not allegorical verses, or metaphorical, you know.
Yeah, of course.
And that's the way he's left it, for now.
But this stems from a weak understanding of the justice of God. These Sunnis very staunchly believe that Allah can literally take a person from a misguided person from out there and put into the rest. They literally believe it.
But he can.
Huh?
And he can.
It is within his power, but does he do it? Allah's system of that He has created us does not justify. Does not justify. There is in every human being a point of no return. Right? Now, if there is that shift from one extreme to another, it has to be a gradual shift. Janabi Hud was a pious person,
Janabi Hud was
a pious person.
The background from Islam.
Absolutely. Janabi Hud, Arabic version. This of Karbala. 36 hours. 36 hours. Huh? Arabic method. Well, it shows about Hur, how pious and strong he was. That is why he had the background.
Yeah, even some of his speeches, when the Prophet Muhammad told him something about his mother, he said that if your mother was not Fatima,
I would not have said that. Shows
you
know,
your mother will cry for you, didn't you? Right? And go
cry. Fakalatka umuk. So he had that
background.
What I'm saying that shift comes with some physical. And if it is not that, even in a social life, we see the people who we find who are religious and then suddenly they have shifted. Right? These are common examples. In our day-to-day world life, we will find people who we knew to be religious when we were, in our childhood days. Today we see them far away from religion. Right? These people are bound to come back. It can work both ways. Why? Why? Because they are misguided. 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 Why? Because they are
misguided.
Why? Because they are misguided. Why? Because they are misguided. There are several different narrations. One was I think it's the hadith of Imam Tafsir Mizan has narrated this. Imam Ja'far Sadiq al-Islam says that Adam was created, put into Jannah, and sent to earth from the sun. So it's a question of ours. Right? Yet there is another.
Take him long.
Yet there is another hadith that says Prophet Musa asked that Adam. Prophet Musa asked Allah to talk to Adam. He asked Adam that you were so close to Allah, right? You were the only creature existing, human being. How could you disobey Allah? Right? And Adam al-Islam replied, have you read narrations of what exactly transpired? He says, yes. Prophet Musa says, yes. So Adam says, have you found anywhere how long it took before I sent? So Prophet Musa says, yes, I find it to be 30,000 years. And Adam al-Islam says, that is why. 30,000 years, I did not dare listen. How wait, 30,000 years kya? Atkala kya? You understand what I'm saying? Which hadith is right, which hadith is wrong? Right? And both these hadiths have been narrated in the Tafsir al-Mizan. Right? Question is, these things, at least Tafsir al-Mizan, when he comes to a hadith, he leaves it at the last two pages. He will discuss this one verse for 25 pages. The hadith may khali be paan aap se, he say, ah, riwayat mache. He will not even dare comment, ki ah, chhe ke nathi, when I believe this is true or not, or explain ki aake maa hadith hai. He will not do those things. What he does is he says, ah, falani kitab maa falani imam ni riwayat. Ah, chhe falani kitab maa falani riwayat. To show us, ki in the past, mufassirin who have relied on ahadith, you tell us, how can we rely on hadith? When they are so conflicting, it is not the words of the imams that are conflicting. It is that the fabrication of narrations that is.
This is Allah Ta'ala's right, and He's the one who said that if you want the answer for anything in the Quran, you look in the Quran. You don't look at the hadith.
Not the hadith. Hadith should come second. Hadith should come to.
There's a new tafsir. There's a new tafsir that is out by.
Ahsan Ilahi.
Ahsan Ilahi.
Ahsan Ilahi. You all need Wahhabi.
I don't know. I have to read it.
Urdu money.
Urdu money.
Quran from Quran. You see, Quran from Quran is not the first time. Ayatollah Tabatabai is not the first person to claim that tafsir should be done from Quran. Right? Quran should be understood using Quran. Ayatollah Tabatabai is not the first person. Right? Majma al-Bayan Tabasi did the same thing. But if we look at the works produced, we find that Ayatollah Tabatabai is more accurately in consistency in referring to the Quran every time than Majma al-Bayan. So, most important thing is, and probably the answer to this question, most important thing is, okay, when you pick up a verse and say, ah, verse no, okay, you have to know the 5,999 other verses before you can answer this.
It doesn't answer the underlying question, which is that the Quran is accessible or not. Maybe it is accessible to everyone.
Not all parts are geared for everybody. Some are for laymen, some are specifically for al-rasikhuna fil ilm, some are haruf al-muqatta'at that nobody knows. Even the Sunnis say that.
Allah says here, some of them, they will never know except for Rasikhuna fil ilm wa man tabi'ahum. So there's no argument there.
Well, this is...
Which place did Adam come to first earth?
Riwayat says he was in Safa and Hawa was in Marwa. The two mountains. Huh?
Because we were refused. They were right near next to it, but they said, no, don't go.
People climbed.
But then what about Jeddah? Jeddah was named after me. How about?
She's buried there.
She's buried
there.
Have you
seen the
grave? Yeah, I've seen the grave.
It's like Habil.
Habil, you have seen Habil. You've seen Habil. You come to the conclusion that man, human beings at that time were. Hazrat Adam ki kabar kaise?
Assalamu
alaikum ya dajiyai.
Another prophet. They're buried in the same place.
Adam and Noah.
They're buried in the same place.
They're buried next to Muhammad. Very much. نبی یحیی نے یہ دربار الوسیت میں برابر شام
جامع اموی
نبی یحیی
نے تھی پہلا کنگڈم اس نے کو راج تو نہ مار کے
کیا کہ راج
یہ تو بچے مسلمان کے اثر میرا نا میرا تھی پہلا یہ چرچ تھا تو کہیں
یہ چرچ تھا کرسچن والا جوز نہ بولے بڑے اسرائیلی
نبی یحیی کے مدد سے
نبی یحیی نے یہ جگہ میں دفن ہوا تھا یہ ولی باج میں جگہ نہ تھی فوٹو پورٹ پہ رائٹ એનો વાક્ય બહુ ફાઇન લખેલું છે લોહી બંધ નતું મારવામાં આવ્યું હતું ને ત્યારે એનું લોહી બંધ નતું થતું હવે એનું જયારે લોહી બંધ નતું થતું કન્ટિન્યુઅસલી પબ્લિક પછી નેબુશદનઝાર નેબુશદનઝાર કિંગ હતો એ આવીને કે આ છે ને દિસ ઇઝ એન ઇનોસન્ટ બ્લડશેડ જોકે નેબુશદનઝાર હતો નકામવાળો Right? But this is innocent bloodshed. I will, in retaliation, kill people until this blood stops forcing over. Right? And he killed 70,000 Jews. Innocent. Then you see that, logician, Bajuma, they say that this is where it is.
Or a
pool,
Japan.
I thought there's a pool. Pool, you know. બેપ્ટિઝમ કરતો હોય છે યસ જોન ધ બેપ્ટિસ્ટ છે ને યાહિયા નામ જોન ધ બેપ્ટિસ્ટ છે
એની રીત હતી કે પાણીમાંથી તમે પાછળ રિબોર્ન થાવ સિમ્બોલિક થિંગ હી યુઝ કે જો તમે લોકો યુ વોન્ટ કમ બેક ટુ ગોડ સિમ્બોલિકલી ક્લેન્ઝ યોરસેલ્ફ આજ એ
ત્યારે એને પણ ઉતરી જેટલા તમે 30 દિવસ નું તમે આ રોજા રાખો છો થોડો ક્લેન્ઝ યોર બોડી બે
સજેસ્ટ પૂછે ચાલી ગયો બીજા
તમારે
નથી મહેરાજ વાક્યો જે છે જ્યાં નમાઝ બાજુ છે શેખ સદુક એન્ડ શેખ મુફીદ શેખ મુફીદ વોઝ ધ ટીચર શેખ સદુક ના શેખ સદુક વોઝ ધ ટીચર
શેખ
મુફીદ ટીચર કોણ I think they were teacher-student relations with them. In any case, they both of them hold, these two are the only renowned Shia scholars who believed that apart from the Holy Prophet and the Imams, all the other prophets, none of them were there. Right? But that was before Prophet. Before Prophet. Bhulti, Guna and Sahira. Not major sins, minor sins.
Not entirely.
Right? Since then, from there on up to today, every scholar has accepted everything from Sheikh Kufi that Sheikh Kufi comes. And they, sorry, we will not accept.
There are verses that lead to this trouble, you know. I took an example of Nabi Dawood. Nabi Dawood for the 99 sheep, not what the story is about, right? Which we have dealt with anyway. You know, it's for us. But Nabi Sulaiman, Nabana, my sheep.
In the notes, inshallah. Nabi Sulaiman, how did he get the kingdom?
Nabi Sulaiman, then he namaz bhule gaya. Bolustan paas hua hai, usne achhola, gora ne maine kha chhola. Right? In a fit of anger, he killed the horse and saved the horse ne maine. Right? But she, Nabi Yunus, Adam, right? Every scene like all the prophets, that the events in their life that God chooses to talk about have got some of this.
Not all prophets. Then
no,
ones.
Musa maybe not, right?
Not Ulul Azam at least, yeah.
Musa maybe Musa maybe
not. Ulul Azam at least.
Well, he lost his temper. Killed a person, lost his temper, and then ran.
But I tell you, even if they did commit those mistakes, yeah? They are far, far superior to what we can ever.
But it's instructive that God chooses those episodes of their life. They must have had hundreds of episodes.
You see, the powers, Nabi Dawood, who was not an Ulul Azm, right? Eno assist, Eno wasi jato Asif Nabati. Wasi? Sulaiman, sorry, Dawood is Sulaiman. Nabi Sulaiman wasi, Asif, right? Had the power to bring the throne before he even blinked his eye. Right? Now, that much power a wasi can have from Allah. Right? وَقَالَ الَّذِي عَنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. That ilmun min al-kitab was given to him. Knowledge of the book was given to a wasi of Nabi Sulaiman, who was not even a Ulul Azm prophet. So we can imagine the powers that he had, Prophet Sulaiman. Right? And if he was a prophet, then what about Ulul Azm prophets? Okay. These things also have to be taken into consideration.
I think I remember that, you know, a few brothers, Sayyid Radi and Sayyid
Sharif Radi and Sharif Murtala.
There was a story that their mother asked them, their father passed away and the library was being distributed between them. And there was one book left. And their mother said, who wants this book? And they both wanted it. So then she said, okay, whoever hasn't done
a small sin,
and they both put their hand out still. So it went on like that. But if both of them had not done a small sin, how can any of the prophets come as well?
That was Sheikh Sadduq's argument. Sheikh Sadduq's argument was infallibility is self-development. he did not believe that infallibility is divine. Right? When he was asked this question, he said, Chalis Varastya, I have not done, or forget done, I have not even thought of a Makruh act.
He just goes to.
Right. So he believes.
He just boasted.
No. His position is not his position.
But then, how was the book debated out of curiosity?
One of the questions was who has never missed
the
mother shop, and both of them
Those two are out of this world, Bana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, surely the level of all the prophets would have still been higher. So then if they didn't have never...
Oh, not necessarily.
What was the other place that we came? Who was told that verily Rasulullah, the ulama of your time will be better than the prophets of
the
Bani Israel?
Ulama of Ummat.
Well,
you're talking about the story of Adam.
So these people would have been better than prophets.
No, but which prophets?
I don't know which ones, but you're saying all of them.
No, you see, out of the 124,000 prophets, only 70 or 72 have been mentioned in the Holy Quran. Right? 25
minutes, 75,
isn't that
much?
No, by name.
Hola.
By
commerce.
Yeah, but you could.
My name and by that. My name can't look at
someone like Hazrat Adam, for example, by this argument implies that Sayyid Razi was higher than Hazrat Adam. Surely,
No, it is ulama ummati afdalu min anbiya' ban Israel. Adam was not Nabi ban
Israel. I'm talking about this sinning thing, a minor sin.
Yes, I can understand what you're saying. There are scholars who are capable of attaining a status, right? I think prophets, especially those who have been mentioned in the Quran, right? Much higher. Wallahu al-alam. Right, now, next Monday will be the last Monday, inshallah, before Ramadan. And I will not be here during Ramadan, so don't even think of that. Next Monday, I'll be going over the next few verses which talk of Bani Israel. And Bani Israel is something we've already done during the time of Prophet Musa. The next concept that is interesting, and you know, that means a philosophical study and in-depth understanding, is the concept of Shafa'ah, that intercession. That comes, in fact, those of you are on the internet and have access to this, exactly a discussion going on right now. But we will try and discuss it.
He's translated.
Oh yeah, I am debating whether to start next Monday, because I don't think it is right to start Shafa'ah next Monday. And if we can't finish it in one night, then we will have a whole month back starting. So, think about it during this week and see what we will definitely do. Kind of a busy basis.